Jesus Revolution. I would highly recommend, if you haven't seen that movie, to see it. I've seen different... I tell you what, I just wanted to bawl during the whole movie. And I couldn't because other people wanted to see the movie. But we went with the Mitts, and we went with also with the Denny's. And after that, after the movie, we're in the, what do you call it, the foyer, where you go. And I tell you what, we were still just bawling. We could have had church right then and there. I'm going to do something I feel like I should do. And I'm sorry to put you on the spot, David, and Lisa, whoever. But could you give us your perspective? I was just so blessed on how this movie impacted David. So if he could take I take a chance because he's a preacher. He's going to be speaking in April again. It's April, right? So you're going to want to be here. But I want to just get your perspective on that movie, and if I can, David. So.
Well, for me, so much of what was in the movie was my testimony. So I'm watching it and reliving my encounter with the Lord and my baptism in the ocean. And it was because, you know, the Lord is forever, right? So in any moment, he comes into your present and brings eternity and transforms everything. And it was such a beautiful story of God moving in this land and the awakening that came to all these young people and the inclusiveness of the Lord. And, you know, I just felt so connected. And I a lot of times you can watch anything with a critical eye, and I recommend leaving that home. And, you know, just going with an open heart and just allowing the Lord to minister to you, because it is truly such a beautiful depiction of the simplicity of our salvation and the power that transforms us.
Amen. It was wonderful. It was touching to me as we were outside in that foyer, just as David was reliving what God had done him, with just those tears flowing down his face. And just the power of the gospel. So, I'm the same way. I can be kind of, I have to admit, I'll go to a Christian movie, and you can be critical because you hear things like, I don't believe that way, and I don't believe that way, and boy, I certainly wouldn't brought that into the movie. But in this case, I mean, every moment of this movie just impacted me. And it was, and being that it was about the hippie movement, am I saying it right? In the 70s, and how it, I'll talk about how it correlated a lot of what we are facing right now, where we're at right this minute is absolutely wild and crazy. So the timing of this movie, the timing of what's maybe happened in Asbury and some other areas that we see, and we want God to fan that flame, amen? I'm telling you, I've always felt like this thing was going to, this is just my opinion, this thing was going to be kind of slow burning, but it's going to be long lasting. Sometimes you can have a flash in a pan, and then the fire's gone. I think this one's going to be slow burning and keep mounting and growing. And I think a reason why my opinion is because a lot of things that we're seeing economically, amen, in the 70s we see now with inflation and different things, and things that I think that are going to continue to be something that we're going to have to deal with. And you say, well, how do you know? Well, I know that $32 trillion that you just print, right? Means there's a lot of dollars out there. When I remember, I was young, I remember hearing the first time hearing the word trillion. Wow, how much is that? And then now trillions and doesn't mean anything anymore, does it? So when you start hearing trillions and it doesn't really mean much as far as on the balance sheet of the government, you start realizing how much value is there to this dollar, right? And which also, I'm not going to get into it, but which causes inflation. But we know God is going to take care of his people, amen? Because I'm going to tell you this, it's not about just you and I and taking care of all of our natural needs. The Lord does that. But when we see things that can touch an economy, I'm telling you what it is God is trying to get the attention of the unbeliever who worships and idolizes money or worships and idolizes whatever it is. Some of those things can happen to shake their world and get them to look unto Jesus, who wants to be the author and finisher of their faith. So regardless of what happens in the next decade, I know one that he's going to take care of you and I. Do you believe that? He's going to take care of you and I, but there's going to be a shaking because, man, eternity's a long time. And our life here is such a short time. He loves people so much that he's looking to save souls. You got to think about it. And this is when you think about a revival or an awakening, right? It's about you and I coming alive in Christ. Amen? It's about thinking about those things, those heavenly things, and not just the earthly things. What's the prayer says, thy will be done in heaven as it is in earth. It was part of the Lord's prayer that on earth here, things would happen exactly as they do in heaven. Amen? See, in heaven, there's no broken hearts. Amen? In heaven, there's no sickness or disease, right? See, in heaven, there's no depression. Amen? In heaven, every need is met, the kingdom of heaven. See, that's what he wants here for you and I. Amen? He wants to supply our needs. He wants to take care of us. He wants to heal us. He wants to deliver us. Amen? And in turn, God looking out and saying, do you see all the fields that are white for harvest now? As things have begun to shake, as we've seen things happen in the economy and even in the government, believe me, God, none of this has taken the Lord God by surprise. None of it. There's always a purpose in things. We don't see it, man. We don't see it. God loves to do things that we say, I never saw that coming. I couldn't have imagined that. And yet God will do the things that we couldn't imagine to save a generation. A generation. So Friday night, I saw that movie. You know, I told you I was choked up with tears nearly throughout the movie. And after the movie, as we discussed the movie, I told you we could have had church right there in the foyer. I mean, we were that close. And so I mentioned that if you have an opportunity, to see that movie. To see that movie. That, you know, 1970 challenges. You know, let me just say about the 1970. Some of us, you know, I was born in 66. So I remember the 70s to some degree. As the 70s came to a close, the light bulb as a young man was starting to turn on. I remember the inflation. I remember the high interest rates. I remember all of those things. I remember a little bit about the hippie movement. I remember the worry of the hippie. I remember the hippie movement in this way. It's like they have these communist ideas. And we cannot allow that to affect the people or the government. I remember. Does anybody remember those things? We can't have them, their ideologies infecting society. And then what happens? And God takes that generation and he uses it to bring a whole style, new style of music into the church. Anybody remember Maranatha music? If you're old enough, Maranatha music. Anybody ever remember that song, Sydney Was a Pirate? I just want to know if anybody remembers that one along with me. Okay. Remember Jesus, what was it, Space Cowboy? That song. Remember all these different music? You remember Space Cowboy, right? It was so radical. I remember back in that time, my mom says, I don't want you listening to that. I don't understand those words about a space cowboy. But a whole new world of music. That, you know, it was the forerunner, and then Keith Green. Remember Keith Green coming along? Man, Keith Green. And he started making this music and then giving his music away and having these concerts where he didn't charge anything. Man, we could use some Keith Greens today. I said, we could use some Keith Greens today. And so for the United States, the 1970s, there was these, remember the high oil prices, embargo, remember the lines? Surging inflation, stock market swoons up and down, political upheaval, geopolitical tension around the world. And it was a time where many Americans were saying religion and church are antiquated and no longer relative in society. That sound familiar? It sounds familiar. And you know, and then we saw that, and then if you watch that movie, you could see when these people started coming into the church that was totally foreign to, you know, you got to look at most of the time, in most cases, a lot of the churches at that time were still singing hymns. Still the organ. Nothing wrong with an organ. But this generation says, hey, you know, we play the guitar, we have drums. And so this whole new music began to rise, and there was people said, this can't be God. And they left those churches. Amen. You know, could there be a move of God in this day? We don't know exactly what it's going to look like, where we might be tempted, if we're not careful, to say, man, I don't know if I can do this. I don't know if I can hang here. I don't know what's going on. You know, that's what I'm talking about. God will do things that will totally surprise and turn religion and what we think completely upside down. Amen. Amen. You know, I know the heart towards one another. As I was watching this, and there was a heart, what happened with this hippie movement and the heart of the church and the people in Philippians 2:1-3. Now, I didn't give Bill any of my notes because I just wrote these this morning. So if you're, Bill, if you can get it, or if you're on a Bible or on one of your electronic devices, Philippians 2:1-3. Man, or get the Bible. You guys know where Philippians is, right? Philippians 2:1-3 says, therefore, it's up on the screen there, in the New American Standard, it says, therefore, if there is any encouragement in Christ, if any consolation of love, if any fellowship of the Spirit, if any affection and compassion, make my joy complete by being of the same mind, maintaining the same love. Are you hearing me, church? The same, united in what? In spirit, intent on one purpose. Do nothing from selfish or empty conceit, but with humility consider one another as more important than yourselves. More important than yourselves. That goes opposite of what the world would say right now, right? You know, I remember when football players used to play football and they'd score a touchdown and they would just give it to the ref, right? But now we've got it as their whole celebration thing. Look what I did. I'm just saying it's just different. A person would score a touchdown. I am on a team. Give the ball to the ref. Now they've got all the, I mean, they're doing skits now in the end zone when somebody scores a touchdown. And sometimes the light is to put the light on me. How about, you know, you can tell when God is working in a body because there's a maintaining of the same love. United in spirit, say hallelujah. Intent on one purpose, doing nothing for selfish or empty conceit, and considering others more important than themselves. So that's something the Lord has to do. How that looks with others being, you know, treating others more important than myself, it's yielding to them. Amen. That's that hospitality. Not that hospitality, just somebody coming over, but wherever you are in the with other people, there's this hospitality about you. Giving, a heart, caring. Having a desire for the well-being of the other people. The sign of a healthy church, saints, is a one in spirit. Amen. Sometimes for some of us in our society today, we're so used to driving into our garages, we don't even see our neighbors. Anybody know that? You can go in a subdivision, live in a subdivision, live very close to your neighbors and never see them. Remember the old houses used to have porches on the front? There's the houses they design now that it's all about the backyard. I'm not saying there's anything wrong with that, but there's no thought given to the front porch. There's no thought given to even that you might see your neighbor. It's more of an attitude. I'm not interested in seeing my neighbor. I'm busy. Open up the garage, pull in your ride, close it, and that's the end. But with the church, right? Hospitable towards one another. Amen. You know, I was thinking, let me just move on here. I was thinking about how tenderhearted, can I be real with you? And if it's okay, I was thinking about how tenderhearted I must be as I wept through that whole movie. You know, you ever patted yourself on the back? You know, especially someone, I was younger, I didn't even cry very much. I don't know about you, just remember, toughen up. If you're a guy, it's like, toughen up. Get, you know, pull your bootstraps up. Get busy. Quit that sniveling. Is that, anybody else raised that way? I mean, if you're the older generation, you know. You know. So as I was crying through that movie, I thought, man, I've made a lot of tracks. Look how tender-hearted I am. I am tender-hearted towards the lost and then my nation, my community. You know, even those in my own family tree, I'm tender-hearted towards because I cried during this movie. You know, as soon as I was thinking about that last night, I had this thought. And let me try to unwind this. Will you give me a little bit of time? Remember, so I was saying, Lord, look how tender-hearted I am. So as I was thinking about how tender-hearted I must be as I wept through most of that movie, then I had a thought. Am I tender-hearted towards the lost? Towards the lost in this nation? I began to ask that there was something that would just kind of bother. You ever have little things, something that bothers you inside? And so I've learned to, when I have that, to start asking questions. Start asking, what's going on here? If there's any rough waters in my soul, in my spirit realm, in my emotions, I start asking the questions, what's going on here? I highly recommend it to help to find out, to continue to bring peace in your life. And so I had as soon as I asked that question, my mind went to a couple of interactions I had with this individual that I had been praying for. And I had been showing the utmost love and care for this individual. But it seemed to be of no avail. I mean, this is something that's been going on with me for some time, for some years. No avail, and it's work-related. And on top of it, they have this way of underlyingly mocking my Christianity, my faith, mocking it. You know, so I'm trying to do what I should do as a man of God, amen. And I work with this individual, and I'll tell you what got me is because his wife is a Sunday school teacher at a church. And as soon as I heard that his wife was a Christian, man, I put a beam. I said, I know this woman's praying for this man. And I'm going to try to be the tool. I'm going to try to be what the Lord will use to bring this guy to the Lord. But as I did that, he began to mock. Over the years, I thought, man, I'll get him to soften his heart. I'll get to where he'll come to Christ. It'll be a beautiful moment. But instead, what I saw was a mocking of Jesus begin to rise in the last year or so. Mocking my faith, my walk with Christ. I began to have this attitude towards this person. And this is what I was thinking. I would meet him and talk to him. And you've probably heard this saying. I said, how dumb can you be and still breathe? I started getting this attitude towards him. This guy's an absolute fool. And I begin to go from having this heart for him to having a little bit of a disdain for him by the things that were, you know, I was thinking. So I went from having a heart for this guy to say, man, this guy is a doofus. See, as he was mocking my faith and making fun of my God who changed my life, got a little bit of a resentment there. And then when you get a little resentment there, well, if this guy spends eternity in hell, so what? Didn't say that out loud. But do you know what I'm talking about in the heart? A heart condition? If this guy ends up spending eternity separated in hell from God, so what? He's mocking my God. He's making fun of me. Who does he think he is? You know, that's why I really, when I watched this movie, going back to a little bit of that, this very small church that Chuck Smith had, that's who pastored, started getting these people, these hippies, who had mocked Christ. See, we had a generation of that hippies, hear me, that were mocking Christ. It was sex, drugs, and rock and roll. Do you remember? You've heard that. I mean, that's where that saying came from. I mean, they smell, they need a bath. They smell like weed 24/7. Some were semi-insane. Some of them were semi-insane. Some in the church, and some of the in the church did not like it. They did not like it. They didn't like these individuals who had mocked God. I'm telling you right now, we have a generation that you know I'm talking about, young or even in their middle age, that are mocking God. And I have allowed, in many cases, to allow a disdain and an attitude to come forth. These people, you know, how dumb can you be and still breathe? If they go to hell, then they go to hell. Has anybody dealt with that in the last few years? Amen. And so my mind, as I began to think about this, my attitude just towards this one individual, and then in my mind, another individual came to mind, and then you can even think of people in your family tree, different things where you've tried to be an example, tried to help, and it seems like it does no good, and you start getting this disdain, this becoming jaded, even to those that you're close to, with an attitude, I've done everything I could do, and still nothing has changed. And our attitude can change, can't it? Has anybody ever been there? Amen? Absolutely. It could be towards parents. It could be towards children. It could be towards nephews, nieces, anybody. You can have those people that it's been this certain way for so long that you don't realize that you don't even have a tender heart for them anymore. You can see things going on in this nation and some of the buffoonery that's going on. Can I say that? And totally turn off your heart towards them and say, if they go to hell, they go to hell. And so as I was thinking that, it bothered me. I was trying to sleep last night. And having that thought about that one guy, and then it goes to here and here, and I'm thinking about an array of people in my attitude towards them. And then I start thinking, you know, thank God I start thinking, wow, well, what's the Word of God say about this? Aren't you glad you can always go to the Word of God? Aren't you glad you can always get the answer in the Word of God? Started thinking about the Apostle Paul, right? And then what he had to go through. I'm going to list some things, and I want to show you what Paul's heart was. Paul had revival everywhere he went. Well, he didn't, actually. He was kicked out of some towns and beaten. I'm sorry, I misspoke. There's towns he wanted to have revival, but those that were coming against him got him beaten, got him stoned, and kicked out of those areas. So I want to look at Acts 13, 49, and 50. So my mind then went to the Apostle Paul. Acts 13, 49, and 50. And the word of the Lord was being spread through the whole region. But the Jews incited the devout women of prominence and the leading men of the city and instigated a persecution against Paul and Barnabas and drove them out of their region. Can you believe that? A group of people, matter of fact, Paul being a Jew, was, I'm going somewhere with this, he was his own countrymen, his own fellow citizens that were able to incite these things against him, be used by the enemy, and actually drive him out of an area. Could you believe that? The great Apostle Paul, I've come here to do a work. And his own countrymen said, not here, you're not. We'll do everything in our power to make sure you don't speak a word here about salvation or truth. We'll do the very best that you won't be a part of anything contrary to what we believe. You know, that kind of sounds like what we can hear today in our society in areas where you can't preach the gospel. You're not safe in some cities now. Did you know that to preach the gospel? I mean, you're taking your life in your hand now. It's not like it was 20, 30, 40 years ago. You're taking your life in your hand. So here's one. There's one example. Paul said, no, you're out of here. Acts 14, 19. But the Jews, Acts 14, 19 says, but the Jews came from Antioch. This is the next area. Okay, we're moving on just a little bit. But the Jews came down from Antioch and Iconium, and having won over the crowds, they stoned Paul and dragged him out of the city, thinking he was dead. So it wasn't good enough that they drove him out of this area. They heard where Paul went, and they said, we're going to go down there and do the same thing. His own countrymen. And this time, they were able to cause such a ruckus that they stoned Paul, and they thought he was dead. Dragged him out of the city and said, he's done. We finally got rid of this guy. We finally got rid of a fellow countryman. A fellow countryman. We don't have to worry about it. Did it stop there? Well, no. Let me go on a little bit. Acts 21, 27 and 20. Are you still with me? You still there? Yes. Hallelujah. Still there? I'm driving this bus somewhere, I promise. Acts 21, 27 and 28. When the 7 days, this is talking about Paul, when he was in Jerusalem, he was trying to make his way. He wanted to go to Rome, actually. You remember that? So it says, when the 7 days were almost over, the Jews from Asia, upon seeing him in the temple, began to stir up all the crowd and laid hands on him. And crying out, men of Israel, help. This is the man who instructs everyone everywhere against our people and the law and this place. And besides, he has even brought Greeks into the temple and has defiled this holy place. So he even goes to Jerusalem, and his own fellow countrymen incite the crowd, and this time he's thrown in prison. These are his people. Even in 2 Corinthians 11, 24, this is Paul says, 5 times I received from the Jews 39 lashes. Wow. 5 times. You think there was a time that Paul gave his life and died before they say he was beheaded? You think there was a few marks? He even says, don't bother me. I bear the marks of Jesus Christ on my body. He said, I've given everything for this gospel. 5 times, 39 lashes. Could you imagine? After so many times, they're just beating him and tearing open scar tissue upon scar tissue upon scar tissue. You know, what kind of attitude would you think Paul would have towards his fellow citizens? You think he had every right to preach or rail against his fellow Jews, his brethren, right? You think he could have done that? I wouldn't have blamed him. Would you have blamed him? No, I wouldn't have blamed him, but this is where the Lord started speaking to my heart. What kind of attitude did he have towards these that wanted to destroy and kill him everywhere he went, his fellow countrymen? Let's read it. Romans 9, 1 through 5, and I'm reading it in the Passion Translation. Let's see what kind of attitude. If you don't have it, that's okay, Bill. In the Passion Translation, I'll just read it. Let's see what Paul's attitude was after going through all of these things. Amen. So he's speaking in Romans 9. It says, Israel, my Jewish family, I feel such great sorrow and heartache for you that have I feel such great sorrow and heartache for you that never leaves me. God knows these deep feelings within me as I long for you to come to faith in the Anointed One. His heart, after going through all that, his heart. Let me just stop right here. You know, in a revival, it's going to move in America. We're going to have a heart to those that even come against it, that they would come to Christ. Now, Paul still stood up for the truth. I think I've got a few scriptures where he stood up for the truth still. He still let it know. He still said what, you know, he didn't cower back. But even through that, having this heart, let me just read this and I'll continue. Israel, my Jewish family, I feel such great sorrow and heartache for you that never leaves me. God knows these deep feelings within me as I long for you to come to faith in the Anointed One. My conscience will not let me speak anything but the truth. For my grief is so intense that I wish that I would be accursed, cut off from the Messiah, if it would mean that you, my people, would come to faith in him. He said, I would freely be damned to hell, is what he's saying, if my people, those who have come against me, those that have caused me to bring such hardship and struggles to me, those who had me whipped 5 times, those that are chasing me out of areas, those that were coming against me intently, causing me problems. He said this. He says, I have such a heart, I would give up my salvation if they would come into the kingdom. His countrymen. You know, I think in a move of God, you know, a move of God, His Holy Spirit, I'm telling you, as God begins to move, there's going to be people that you're going to struggle to have any love for. But God is looking at the eternal picture of their soul. See, I would think, if I went through all of that with my fellow countrymen, my fellow U.S. citizens, let's put it that way, that I'd be saying, man, Lord, fry them right now. Lord, I don't really care. And what's happened sometimes, we're not careful, what I see is, well, these individuals that are opposing the gospel, I'll hear that, yeah, they need to die. I've heard people, I say, hey, we need to be praying for our leaders, and I've heard people say it's too late. That's not God's heart. That's not God's heart. See, I want to have a heart, so what I say, this is my point, is when I start saying, Lord, I have such a tender heart. Lord, they're crying through that whole movie, and the Lord spoke to my heart, spoke to me. He says, do you really? Do you really have my heart for the lost? Do you really have my heart for those that oppose me? Do you really have a heart for those that actually might even do you harm? And as that word of God began to speak to me, I started saying, Lord, I want to stand up for truth. Obviously, amen. Abortion, all this other nonsense, I want to stand up for the truth. But I want to have a heart that these people could get saved through me. You know, I was thinking, I think I've heard this, there was this, reading this story, true story, Charisma Magazine, where this man was, he was a Satanist, homosexual, and a drug addict. So he had all kinds of things going for him, didn't he? And it was this Christian individual, I think it was a Christian, I don't know if it was a Christian guy or gal, I can't remember that. But they're interviewing them, and they're just interviewing them. And he's telling them all about their Satanism, telling them all about what he's involved in and all these different things that he was doing, kind of flaunting it. And they got done with that radio interview, and this individual just took this guy and just put a big bear hug on him. And he said, something happened to me. Something happened there. He said, he talked about how he was raised. He says, I'd never felt love before in my life. Something about this hug transferred something. He didn't even know it was love then. He was like, what is this? So he leaves that interview. Day one, he couldn't shake it. Day two, he couldn't shake it. Day three, he still couldn't shake it. And so he went back to that radio station and that individual. He said, you need to tell me what happened, because you hugged me and something happened and I can't shake it. And that person began to tell this individual about Jesus, the love of Jesus. See, the guy came out of Satanism. He came out of sexual bondage. He came out of drug addiction. And now he's on fire for the Lord. Hallelujah. All started with a hug. The love of God. The love of God. See, we've been saying this before. Anything is going to be a revival, it's going to be a tsunami of God's love. There's so many people that are doing the things that are doing because they don't know the love of God. They've been lied to by the enemy. Amen. It can be even in our own families. Amen. And what I'm asking is, I'm saying to my Lord, I say, Lord, I want to have a love for every individual that, I don't care who it is, if you give me assignment to win them to the Lord, Lord, I want to have the heart that will win them to the Lord. Lord, those that oppose me, those that make fun of me, those that might come against me, Lord. Paul's attitude, man, Lord, I would give up everything if my people could come to, what a heart. That was the heart. See, that's the heart of revival right there. That's the heart of revival. man, his heart for his people, he had every reason to say, I'm done. And no, he did. There was a time in Acts 28 where he shakes off the dust. He says, man, I'm done. You guys, I'm done right now with you. I'm going to the Gentiles. But here's his heart towards his people. My question to you, is there people or groups of people that you need to allow the Lord to challenge you? I'm not saying roll over again, but you can say, Lord, I want your heart for my fellow citizens, those that I'm related to, those that I work with, those that whatever in your sphere of influence, Lord. Is there anybody, Lord, that I need to have just my heart tweaked and changed, that, Lord, that I could have the opportunity to lead them to you? See, that just started with that one guy that began to irritate me. Are you mocking me? Who are you? You know, I've been here trying to, you know, bring you to the Lord for 3 years and telling you about Christ with tears in my eyes. And I thought we were getting somewhere, and now you decide to mock me and make fun of me. I'm done with you. Lord says, am I done with him? Let me say, is God done? It's his choice who he's done with, who he's going to save. But is God done with people in this nation? I don't think so. See, Paul did stand for the truth still. He stood for the truth. He did chastise them in Acts 28, and he says, you're always hearing but not understanding. Aren't you glad that you're not an individual that's always hearing but not understanding? Aren't you glad that the Holy Spirit is revealing the truths of his word to you, that you're hearing and understanding the truth? I don't know about you, but my greatest desire in this day and age is to understand truth. Understand my Father's heart. I want my Father's heart for the lost. I want my Father's heart for the buffoons running this nation. I'm sorry I say that. Just, I want my Father's heart for fools. But you know, God is bringing, let me just say this, God's bringing the Jews into his kingdom. Romans 11, 25 through 27. This is Paul. He says, for I do not want you, brothers and sisters, to be uninformed of the mystery so that you will not be wise in your own estimation. Boy, do we need that in the world today. Be, you know, wise in our own estimation, that a partial hardening has happened in Israel until the fullness of the Gentiles has come in, and so all Israel will be saved. Just as it is written, the deliverer will come from Zion. He will remove ungodliness from Jacob. This is my covenant with them when I take away their sins. Hallelujah. See, how could Paul have that heart towards those people that are coming against him? Because he knew the scriptures. He knew the scriptures. And so for you and I, we have to know the scriptures. He's not willing that any should perish, but that all would come to everlasting life. You know, if anybody should have been damned, it should have been the Apostle Paul. Should it not? I mean, look what he did, holding all the coats of those who stoned Stephen, putting people in prison vehemently against the way, the truth, and the life. Amen? Boy, did God turn things around in him. Hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah. So I want to be the tender heart. I want to be tenderhearted towards the lost in this country, even the most ungodly in this great nation. I want revival. I can't have revival on my terms, saints. So when I'm looking at these things, I'm going to get what I believe for me, amen, what I'm preaching today is from the Word of God, amen? From the Word of God. So did Paul, did he even care? I'm going to read a couple more scriptures and we'll end. Did he even care for those that opposed him that weren't Jews? Well, this was Paul's heart. This is in a government setting right here. Acts 26, 24 through 29. Acts 26, 24 through 29. So this is Paul. He's in prison, right? The Jews are trying to get him killed. And he's trying to get to where? He's trying to get to Rome, is where he's trying to get. So while Paul was starting these things in his defense, Festus, that was a leader, that was a Roman leader, said in a loud voice, "Paul, you are out of your mind." Anybody ever told you that before? About your faith, you're out of your mind. Your great learning is driving you insane. But Paul said, "I am not insane, most excellent Festus. On the contrary, I am speaking out with truthful and rational words." Amen. All we got to do is speak the truth. Amen. There is so much irrational, is that a word? Unrational, out there that my job is to speak the truth and be rational. It seems sometimes that rational is in short supply. Have you noticed that? It is your and my job to, with being salt and light, to be rational. To be rational. It says, I am not insane, most excellent Festus. On the contrary, I'm speaking out with truthful and rational words, for the king knows about these matters, and I also speak to him with confidence, since I am persuaded that none of these things escape your notice. His notice. For this has not been done in a corner. You've seen how the word of God is spread. He's saying, you've heard about what Jesus has done. He says, I think you probably even heard the gospel, O Festus. And then verse 27, King Agrippa, do you believe the prophets? And he asks another leader there, a leader in that area, the Roman leadership. King Agrippa, do you believe the prophets? I know you believe. This is Paul. Agrippa replied to Paul, in a short time you are going to persuade me to make a Christian of myself? And Paul said, I would wish to God that even in a short or long time, not only you, but also all who hear me this day would become such as myself am, except for these chains. So you had all the Jewish leadership right there that opposed him. You had all these Roman leadership there that opposed him. And what was Paul's heart? I wish that everybody here that hears my voice, that's hearing why I'm in chains, would give their lives to Jesus. See, that was the heart of Paul. You know, what do I believe that scripturally a revival looks like? A return to a heart of worship? Let me say yes. But I love the time of worship that we have, taking our time and looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. Hallelujah. I hope you will consider if worship is a struggle for you, years ago it was for me, that you would press in and just worship and honor him, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of your faith, because I'm telling you, he's made you to worship, even if your voice doesn't agree with that. I didn't mean to look at you. You might have a beautiful voice, I'm sorry. I'm looking at him, he's like, huh? A return to the heart of worship, yes. A desire to walk in his presence, oh yeah. That's what revival looks like. Amen. His presence. Don't you love his presence? Yes. But this is I think, a very important thing. A deep God-given desire to see the lost come to Christ. That's God's desire. Life is short. Eternity without Christ is long time. You know, I've said this before. Get ready to have a love for the most vilest of sinners. Are you a person that can love the most vilest of sinners with the love of the Lord? Let me ask that question. Ask yourself that question. Maybe even think about it this week. Can I love the most vilest of individuals? Like Paul was talking about. Let me say again, where were the vilest of those that Paul was up against? Those that were stoning him until they thought he was dead. Those coming into a region, an area, and saying, we don't want you here. We are opposed to this gospel, and we do not want you here, driving him out of an area. So this is my thing, is get ready to have a fresh fire of hope for that child or parent. I'm serious. I'm saying this seriously. This is what revival begins to look like. Get ready to have a fresh fire of hope for that child or parent that mocks you, or your Savior that is far from Christ and it seems impossible. I don't care how much mocking you see in an individual. They may mock or be anti-Christ. That doesn't matter to God. He knows the beginning to end. And I believe that scripture says, as for me and my household, we shall be saved. Amen? That scripture says it. I believe it. That does it. But meantime, when the enemy comes against you, a spirit of Antichrist, people you may work with or people in your own family, to have that heart saying, I see past that. And the fire of God is going to touch that individual. I don't know how. I don't know exactly when. But I know that God has a heart for that individual. I was thinking, I was remembering an individual who was talking about they were praying for revival. And they said they were praying, and they were praying for revival, and, you know, for hours at a time. And they said something. They said, Lord, if you love these lost people like me, you would. And he stopped himself. Let me just say this for your loved ones. He loves them more than you love them. I said he loves them more than you love them. Whatever that is, family, whatever you're going through, he loves you more than you realize. So much of what's going on are the struggles of this nation is a lie that, you know, that God ever loved this nation or founded this nation. It has its struggles, its warts, but I'm telling you this, God founded this nation, Judeo-Christian, amen, truths. Amen. In a way, I mean, I don't believe in replacement theology at all, but in a way, we're like we're like an Israel. We're meaning that we were based upon the Bible, the Word of God, the truths of the Word of God. Judeo-Christian philosophies, believing in the Bible, believing that our blessings come from who? God. What did Israel believe? Where did they believe that their blessings came from? Yahweh, God. Amen. We believe in the truths of the Word of God. I know that when I walk with Him, that the promises of God, the promises of Abraham and Isaac, are mine as well. Amen. And so, what I'm saying is, this God ordained this nation to be a blessing and a beacon of light. With the truth. How many missionaries have been sent out throughout the world in the past in this country? How many people have come to Christ? How many churches have been established around the world for Jesus Christ? Judeo-Christian philosophies. Amen. You know this, the way that we are set up in this nation, right? We're not a democracy, we're a republic. It only works when you're walking with the Word of God. It only works when you're walking with the Word of God. See, governments will give more overreach and heavy-handedness as we get away from God, not realizing it's the opposite what we need. It's actually repentance and coming back to God, where we don't need all of those, heavy-handed laws and regulations, because you cannot regulate or put laws in, it'll change your heart. But as this nation, as it comes back to the Lord and holds up the beacon, the Word of God, and said, hey man, this nation is blessed because of Jesus Christ, Judeo-Christian truths, amen, amen and amen. So why do I say that? I think that God's got more for this nation to do. See, there's been wicked kings I can see through the Old Testament even wicked kings that were opposed to God, but God's mercy and grace, amen? Mercy and grace still restored Israel. I'm praying that God, for this nation, that we'll come into a time again of restoration and restoring into biblical truth, standing on the gospel of truth, and I know that our Lord and Savior can do it. So get ready to have a love for the most vilest of sinners. Get ready to have fresh fire of hope for that child or parent that mocks you or your Savior, and it seems impossible. Get ready to have a love for those you might hate. This is what I'm going to say. Is God going to judge people in this nation, leaders? You know, God can do what he wants. Acts chapter 12, Herod was eaten by worms. And I don't remember it, and I don't see anybody praying about it or prophesying it. God took care of business himself. This individual lifted themselves up above God, and the next thing you know, they are dead. So this is what I do. I want to have a heart, stand up for the truth. Have a love for those that are desperately lost. and say, Lord, those who need to be moved out, I'm with you. Move them out of the way. You situate, you move those in and out as you desire and see fit. See, all things work together for good to them that love God and are called according to his purpose. God's not by surprise by what's going on in this nation. As the worship team comes and you stand up with me, all of this started by this. By this. That one situation. And I felt like the Lord challenged me and says, do you really have a tender heart? Don't take any of that as condemnation, please. But I've come to know that in this day and age, if I'm going to be part of a move of God, I've got to be moved by God to exactly where he wants me. How about you? Do you love him today? Does anything I say resonate with you? I hope it does. See, God is love. I say, God is love. And so, Father, what we pray for, if you don't mind praying with me, saints, saying, Lord, thank you for baptizing me afresh anew in your love. Lord, let me see every individual as you see them. There might be individuals here in your past, you know, that have hurt you, that you need to do business with God and say, God, forgive me. I'm not saying you have to restore relationships, but Lord, forgive me if I'm holding any ought there. Lord, may I have a desire to see every individual from the top in this nation to those that live on the streets, that they would find you. Remember when I spoke about Ahab? Do you remember a few weeks ago? Were you anybody here? Remember that filthy rascal? Yeah. And there's just that one moment where he repents. And God says to Elijah, did you notice Ahab repenting? I would have said, yeah, kill him anyway.
Glad you're not God.
God is so merciful. If you read that, he says, the things I had planned against him, I'm not going to bring against him. Amen. It'll be down the road, the next generation. But because of that one little area of repentance, I'm not going to bring on Ahab everything that I had prophesied, because he had that one little time he repented in sackcloth and ashes. Are you kidding me? That's how merciful Amen. Our God is to the wicked. Father, we thank you for your Holy Spirit, Father God. We thank you for your mercy and your love. If you're here and you don't know Jesus as your personal Savior, when this service concludes, I would ask that you come up and let us pray with you. If you need to come back to the Lord, if you've wandered from him, would you come up after this service is released and allow us to pray with you and minister the love of God? Let me just say this. Doesn't matter what you're dealing with right now. God loves you and he wants to restore you. He's a restorer. I said he's a restorer. I think about this nation. Father, restore this nation. Father, restore this nation. Father, do what only you can do. Restore people's hearts, Father. Lord, we thank you for in our own hearts, Lord, giving us a love for those individuals that are contrary to you. Father, we love you. We praise you. Do you love him, saints? Hallelujah. Father, we love you. We praise you. We worship you. We honor you. We thank you for what you're doing in our midst. We thank you for what you're doing in our towns. Amen. The Quad Cities. You guys, right? Chino, Prescott Valley, Dewey, Humboldt. Yeah, amen.
Yes.
Amen. Even Paulden, amen.
Yes.
I said even Paulden.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Amen. Father, we thank you for your love. We thank you for your love. We thank you for your mercy. Father, the same mercy that you showered on this scoundrel, may I have a desire that you'll give that same love and mercy to every other individual. Lord, may we not put them in categories. This person can't be saved. This person can. Lord, may we get rid of those categories and have your heart for all those who are lost. And we thank you for it. We praise you. We worship you. In the name of Jesus, the name above all names, we pray. And everybody said, amen and amen. God bless you. Hallelujah. We worship you, Lord. We all